God bless you, and thank you for listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. Today is the 13th day of March, 2011, and you're listening to our Sunday morning broadcast. This morning's sermon is taught by our pastor, Dr. John Waterloo, and it is entitled, Establishing Biblical Standards of Separation. The entire congregation of Central Baptist Church joins me in saying to you, wherever you're listening to our broadcast, Jesus loves you, and so do we. Thanks again for listening.
Found myself at a crossroad. I knew the time was right. For God's Holy Spirit spoke to my heart that night. Showed me my lost condition, and I bowed in full contrition. Now I'm in a new position, since I made up my mind. I made up my mind, no matter what others say. I will follow Christ and walk in His ways. Though the battle gets hard and the road gets steep, that's okay. Set my heart on becoming like Christ, dying with Him and raised to new life. All the things of this world I'm leaving behind, 'cause I made up my mind.
Trouble came running to me, so I had to make a choice. Would I run or take a stand against this evil ploy? But after all God did for me, and Jesus' blood that set me free, I chose to walk in liberty, 'cause I've made up my mind.
I've made up my mind, no matter what others say. I will follow Christ and walk in His ways. The battle gets hard and the road gets steep.
Appreciate that. Good stuff. Goes along with our message today as well. And this is month of March, and we're talking about choosing, and we've chosen the theme, Choose the Family. Always like to do a mini series on the family each year and about this time. And we're excited about the family. We are a Christ-centered, family-focused church. And so because of that, we think it's important our families stay strong. And so we've got a series of messages for Sunday morning, Sunday night that we'll be preaching throughout the month of March, starting right now. And we are going to talk about choosing the family. But particularly under this guideline, establishing biblical standards in the home. We talk a lot about the family, and this year I really want to talk about the importance of having different standards in our home and what that does for our family. And we'll look at that today. So to do that, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, if you would. 2 Corinthians 6, let's stand as we give honor unto God's word. We'll begin reading in verse 14. Today, as we're talking about biblical standards, the primary thought we want to look at is separation in the home. A biblical standard of separation is what we want to talk about this week. And next week, Lord willing, we're going to talk about biblical sexuality, what the Bible talks about sexuality in the home and the importance of it. And so we're looking forward to that as well. And then really how to help your family to stand and to stand strong and the different things you can do in the next week after that. And so we're looking for some guidelines that will guide us. This one's a very important message. It can be a very confusing message, so I hope you'll pay attention. In other words, we are given to extremes as people. Boy, are we given to extremes. It seems like we like to take something and run either far to the right or far to the left and instead of keeping it balanced. And so, matter of fact, we're going to talk about that this morning as well as Wednesday. Interesting, Joshua is in the same place dealing with separation And so we're going to kind of get a double dose this week. So we're excited about that. But I want you to really pay attention to make sure you walk away understanding what the Bible's actually talking about. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, Paul thinks it's necessary to explain to the Corinthian church and to every church the importance of biblical separation. So he says in verse 14, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship, hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive them, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." Lord, we come to you now. Bless your word now. Bless your preaching. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Separation. Interesting, when you say that word separation, and you say, what's that got to do with standards in the home? Well, you're going to see, I believe it's important that we have guidelines in our home to help our families get to where they need to be. We talk a lot about the family. The problem is that a lot of times, with most relationships, what I've noticed is we get together, we get married, and we hope it works. The most complex thing on the face of the earth is relationships, men and women. You say, why? Because women are strange. And I'm preaching, it's okay. But really, do you ever figure them out? And if you say yes, something's wrong with you. No, and I know the women are going, have you ever tried to figure out men? We're easy. Sleep, food, what else do you need? You know, I mean, it's simple stuff. But the fact of the matter is, it is difficult. And we make fun of it, but it is. But couples fall in love, they get married, and they get all excited. Things go good for maybe a year or two, if you're lucky. And then things start falling apart, and like, what happened? What normally happens is nobody's doing anything to make it work. Nobody's studying. I ask young couples all the time, how many classes have you taken on marriage? They always look at me going, this one? How many books have you read? None. Sometimes the wife will go, one. You know, I mean, no practice, no study. You're entering the most complex thing on the face of the earth. And we're just hoping it works out. And I'm like, good luck with that one. That's why there's so many problems. You say, what do? You got to have a plan. And I'm so glad God has a plan. And we can't cover everything in March, but as we do each year, we try to take different sections. And one of the things I want to talk about is setting some standards, some guidelines, some boundaries in your home to accomplish what you want to accomplish. And one of those is this principle called separation. Now, when I first started talking about separation, the first thought that came to my mind were the Amish. Now, we usually think about separation, we think of the Amish people. I think up in Kansas, there's a group of Amish. Now, I'm not here attacking Amish, but here's the thing. Whenever I see an Amish person, I think of a guy with a big black hat, okay, wearing normally dark clothes. They've got horses, buggies, and they make really good food. You know, I mean, you go by, you buy the bread, you buy the supply. It's good stuff, man. But they don't like electricity. They don't like technology. They kind of live to themselves. They dress funny. They don't associate with anybody. And we think, wow, that's what separation must be. Actually, that's not exactly totally accurate. But that's what we think. And so when the preacher says separation, our mind goes to crazy areas that you say, oh, I don't think I can ever do that, preacher. Well, you don't need to do that because that's not exactly what the Bible fully talks about in the area of separation. You say, what is separation? Well, let me illustrate it this way. There's two Bible characters that I really like. One is Joseph and one is Daniel. You're probably familiar with both those guys. If we could take either one of those and talk about separation, you say, what do you mean? Well, here's Joseph. Joseph is taken from his family at a very young age. As you know, he's sold into Egypt and he lives in Egypt. He's in a wicked culture. He's in a culture where there's no churches. I mean, there's no place to go worship God. Everybody's a heathen, worship sun gods and all kinds of other gods. They don't worship the one true God. Different language, different culture. And yet the man stays close to God. The man stays godly. The man raises a godly family. In the midst of the world, in the midst of a wicked world, he makes it. Why? I think he understood what separation was. Well, what about Daniel? Daniel was in Babylon, the greatest nation on the face of the earth. I mean, he was there, not just in Babylon, in the government. For goodness sake, he's in the government. He sees everything going on. And yet still, guess what? He lived for God. I love those stories. If we had time to detail them out, because you know what it is? I believe if you develop some standards in your life, no matter where you live, what's happened in your life, you can live for God. See, biblical separation and having standards is just that. It's learning to live in the world, but not let the world live in you. There's a big difference there. In other words, we are to be in the world. Paul wasn't telling the Corinthian church, okay, get out of Corinth. You know anything about the Corinthian church? Wicked, wicked. Everything we read about Corinth was them correcting problems. They were immoral to the hill. I mean, you want to talk about immorality? Corinth wrote the book on immorality. This church, they were so wicked, not even funny. I mean, everything, there was arguments, there were divisions. And Paul didn't say, get out of the city and go to the mountains and live in the hills. He said, no. He said, you're going to live in the world, but I don't want the world to affect you. And so he began to show them what it was. So I'm going to talk to you this morning about establishing biblical standards, especially under the area of separation. To do that, we want to look at several things. Number one, there is a difference, first of all, between those who are saved and those who are lost. If you look at the parallels here, beginning in verse 14, he says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship, now look at this, has righteousness with unrighteousness. Look at this other comparison. What communion hath light with darkness? What concord hath Christ with Belial? What part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? What are you saying, preacher? The first thing I notice about this passage is this. Paul made it very clear. There's a difference between those who are saved and those who are lost. Did you catch that? The saved have light. The lost have darkness. The saved have righteousness. The lost live in unrighteousness. The saved have God. The lost have idols. In other words, it goes back and forth saying, hey, there is a distinct difference. And by the way, there should be a distinct difference. That's the second thing. If you look at it, not only is there a difference, but he commands us to be different. You see what he's saying? As he preached to the Corinth, he says, hey, you're going to live in this world. You're going to live among worldly things. There's going to be all these influences, but hey, you can make it and live for God. How? You're going to be different. How? Like light is to darkness. Well, what do you mean? Oh, I'm talking like righteousness is unrighteousness. There should be such a difference between you and the world that you're living in. You say, what do you mean? We'll break it down. You know, if we had time to preach all this, we could go in great detail, but I just listed some obvious things. Our conversation. You know, the way we talk ought to be different. Amen. I mean, seriously, when you're around people that are believers, shouldn't what comes out of our mouth be different than what comes out of the world's mouth? I think it's very obvious. What, light and darkness. I notice it. I'll be honest with you. I notice those who are trying to serve God and living for God just by listening to the way they talk. What about the way we dress? Shouldn't it be different? Now, I'm not going into the Amish thing, okay? No, I'm not promoting that we're to have just, you know, dark colors, big hats. I don't even like hats, so we're not going to do that, okay? And I'm not saying you have to be weird or out of style. What I'm saying is there ought to be something different when you look at a Christian. The Bible talks about a thing called modesty, okay? In other words, men and women are different. I ought to be able to walk down the street and see someone and go, that's a man. You ever go down the street driving and you look at your wife and go, what is it? And you're both driving like this. It's a game we play. You know, it's a guy. No, no, it's a girl. It is not. No, it is. No, no, it's a guy. You know, and you finally get up and you go, oh, okay, I think it's a guy. No problem. You know, you couldn't tell. Hey, can I help you with that? As funny as that is, there's something wrong with that. Biblically, if we had time to go throughout the Bible, hey, he always said there's a distinct difference. Throughout the Bible, there is right and there is wrong. There's light, there's darkness. And it ought to be so clear. What he's saying here is it's obvious. And by the way, it's a command. It's a command from God. He said, come out from among them. We just read it, and be ye separate. He said, there should be such a distinction in how we talk, what we wear, where we go, the activities we do, our work habits, the way we worship. In other words, it ought to be so obvious, as light is to darkness, as right is to wrong. It should just be so clear. And I'm telling you, the lines are being blurred in America today. We're living in a world that says this, let's just blend in with the world, preacher. Let's just all get along and let's just blend in the world and we'll reach them. No. You don't reach the world by being like the world, folks. You reach the world by being different from the world. If we are like them, we have nothing to offer them. Really, I don't know about you, but I'm so glad that I'm in Christianity and I don't have to live in darkness anymore. I don't have to live in bondage anymore. I've got the power of God who forgives my sins and cleanses my heart and changes me. That's a good thing, I'm going to tell you right now. So he commands me to be separate. Well, how is that, preacher? Well, look at, if you would here, in verse 14 it says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath, and then it goes into this comparison. And then verse 17, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. When we're talking about separation, and we're talking about distinct differences between, you know, us and the lost, and commanded to be distinct, one of the primary areas he talks about is this, and that is the unions that we enter into. Now, I need to stop here and clarify real quick. We'll do some more of this at the end, but I want to clarify. Separation is not isolationist. Okay, you won't find that in the Word of God. I know there's monks. I know there's groups that hide out somewhere. Hey, we are called to reach the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can't reach the world running and hiding, okay? You'll never hear that at Central Baptist Church. But at the same time, there's clear instruction, as there was to Israel, as there was to every generation, every believer, that, hey, although you got to live there like Daniel and Joseph in the world, although you're in it, you got to make sure you can reach the world. So he gives us some boundaries. Well, how do I reach the world? How do I separate my family where the world doesn't influence us, but we influence them? And he gives us a big hint here, and really a clear command. It begins, first of all, with our unions. What do you mean, your unions? Well, let's just be honest. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. It begins, first of all, with marriage. Can I help you, parents, with your kids? Don't let your kids marry lost people. It's that simple. You say, but they're in love. I don't care what you call it. Don't marry lost people. Why? Light and darkness doesn't match. Hey, that wasn't a suggestion. Can I help you? It's a biblical command. We look today so often, well, that's just a good thought, preacher. That's a good theory. You go all the way back to Joshua where we're at. When we hit the book of Judges, do you know Joshua, the children of Israel, were commanded not to marry outside of their tribe? Can I tell you why? Because nobody else believed in God but Israel. Now, some have taken that to extreme. Some have said, well, I can't marry anybody but somebody in my race. That's not what the Bible says. You know, I mean, I can't marry somebody who's Hispanic, or I can't marry someone who's Asian, or someone who's black because I'm white. Not what the Bible says. Has nothing to do with that. You know what the marriage situation was? There's only one command there. Don't marry someone who's an unbeliever, is what the Bible says. If they're an unbeliever, stay away. Why? Light and darkness don't match. God and idols don't match. Hey, if you've ever been in a relationship like that, I can tell you, you could probably give testimony today. Why don't you do that? Because when a lost person, when a believer marries a lost person, guess what? They influence them. I've watched for years at Central Baptist Church as some of our young people have grown up and they've married lost people. And can I tell you how many times the saved person has influenced the other person to come over to Christianity? I don't remember one. I'm serious. I'm out of my mind. Now, I'm not talking about somebody who both were lost and one got saved and then they reached out. No. I'm talking about somebody who's saved, knew God, knew better, rebelled against their parents, said, I'll do what I want. I'm in love. Got married. What happened? That person who was on fire for God, that person going to church, suddenly in order to keep the marriage going strong, as they say, began to slowly wane in their commitment, slowly started getting out of church. And now we knock on their door and we visit them and they tell us they've been saved and they love God and they haven't been in church in 10 years. And you finally do a little more research to find out why. Because their spouse is lost and on their way to hell. And because of that influence, they don't want to rock the boat. Guess what? Hey, listen, I'm telling you, the number one influence in your life is your spouse. As much as I hate to admit it, my wife influences me more than anybody else. You said, why? I hate to admit that. Why? She may use that against me. But as much as I like to deny it, there's no other way. I spend more time with her than anybody else. I am one with her. She has my ear, my neck, my head, my checkbook. No, okay. I mean, the fact of the matter is, let's just be honest. I mean, we are entwined one with another. It's interesting when couples are married long enough and you're united long enough, how you begin to take on each other's likes and dislikes. Have you ever noticed that? We begin to become more like each other. It happens in a home. For instance, I'll give you an illustration. Who in the world, really, you live in Oklahoma. Why in the world would you ever root for the Washington Redskins? Amen? Is that not true? And yet we have wicked people among us that do just those things. Take Scott Kelsey and his family. Now think about it. His kids grew up in Oklahoma. I mean, you should vote for Oklahoma people. The closest teams would be like Dallas Cowboys. Yeah, get some amens to that one. That's right. Texas Rangers. I mean, you vote for teams, St. Louis Cardinals, teams around you. And yet they grew up in Oklahoma and they like the Washington Redskins. They also like the Chicago Cubs. Yeah, I'll never get that one, I'll be honest with you right now. Now, here's the thing. I understand Scott was corrupted by his parents. I get it, okay? But really, Trevor, Reagan, McKenna as well. You say, how could those kids do that when everybody around them? Well, they're in a union called a family. And interesting enough, because their dad watches Washington Redskins and roots for the Chicago Cubs, guess what he's created? Wicked kids. Oh, yeah. I'll go farther. My wife was never a sports enthusiast, but I am. And now she doesn't like all sports, but she watches baseball. I have achieved a great victory. I can get her to watch football. Ooh. And sometimes basketball. 20 years ago, no way. But after 20 years of wearing her down, just wearing her down, man, I've got her where I want her. But it works the other way now. I've become cleaner than I ever thought I could be in my life. Yeah, I find myself moving things, cleaning things, fixing things, repairing things, doing things that I would not normally do on my own. What happened? Somebody influenced me in a negative way. As much as I'd like to rebel and say, no, that's not me, I don't want to do that, I go to bed early now. Yeah, 9 o'clock, I'm tired. You said, why? Because of her! Late night, man, we took College and Career to a basketball game on Friday night. That about killed me. We got home about midnight. Don't ever let me do that again. I do that about 2 or 3 times a year. Normally on Saturday nights, I don't do anything after 5 because I'm going to preach the next day. So Friday, we're out. I'm like, it's not good. Why? Because I'm living with a woman that about 7:30 is asleep in her chair. She wakes up at 8:30 to go to bed. So what happens? I go, okay, let's go to bed. I guess we're going to bed. So 9 o'clock, I'm laying down going, but I'm not tired. So watch SportsCenter. But now the older I'm getting, now I'm tired at 9. Now, I can say what I want, but guess what? She's influenced me. Now, folks, those are fun areas, except for the Redskin thing. And those are good things. But you think maybe God had some wisdom when he said, hey, don't be unequally yoked together. Why? We influence each other. We have an impact on each other. We take people down certain paths. If you're married to someone who's an unbeliever, then they're going to mock God. They're going to attack God. They're going to mock religion. They want nothing to do with it. And few ever have the ability to influence the unbeliever. Instead, the unbeliever influences the believer, and they begin to wane in their faith, and it changes their lives. The negative about living here for so long is I can give you a lot of stories. The negative is I'm not allowed. It's called pastor confidentiality. That's why when I speak out, I use those stories. Don't worry, I don't use your name, so you're okay. But can I tell you, seriously, I can give you story after story right now of young people who grew up at Central Baptist Church hearing this, don't marry unbelievers, and they did it anyways. Miserable. Misery is what took place. You say, well, I know one where the husband got saved, the wife finally got saved. Welcome to the grace of God. Welcome to the grace of God. That's why they call it an exception. Folks, our unions are important, and not just our marriages, but folks, our friendships. Okay, can you back up to 1 Corinthians chapter 5 real quick? Our friendships are important as well. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 5. If you jump down to verse 9, we have this command to separate from unbelievers, particularly in marriages, unions. And once again, when I'm talking about separation, I'm talking about intimate relationships. I'm not talking about don't hang around them, don't ever be around them. You got to work with people that are lost. You got to shop with people who are lost. It's not what the Bible's saying. We're talking about an intimate union. Look here at 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 9. I wrote unto you an epistle not to keep company with fornicators, okay? Yet not altogether with fornicators of this world, or with covetous, or extortioners, or with idolaters, for then must ye needs go out of the world. In other words, Paul's very clear. He said, listen, remember I already wrote to you about basically unbelievers, people who are involved in sexual sins openly, people who are drunkards. He said, listen, I told you not to hang around them. Why? Because they're going to influence you to go into the world. They're going to drag you into the world. Now, they lived in a wicked city. Corinth was, it'd be like America today, I'm going to be honest with you. I mean, everything was free and everything was available. And the church, even though they were getting saved, people were still involved in that. And Paul says, don't hang around that. Don't go to the bars. Don't go to the casinos. Don't go to those places. Why? It will affect you. No matter what you think, it will affect you. But he went farther. Look what he said here. Verse 11, but now I have written unto you not to keep company if any man that is called a brother, now he broadens it, a believer, a saved person, if he be a fornicator, covetous, idolater, a railer, or a drunkard, or an extorter, with such a one, know not to eat. Now, when he says eat, he's talking about that fellowship. We're Baptists. We love to eat. Eating is where you fellowship. Now, I'm glad you come to church services. It's great. But you don't fellowship normally much at church. You come, you praise God, you sing, you give your offerings, you hear the word of God. It's a great time to be taught and learned. Fellowship is in activities. A Sunday school. We have a picnic. That's fellowship time. We eat, we enjoy. Also in our culture is as friends, we go out together. And during the week, maybe not every week, but periodic times, you call a friend and say, let's go eat. Let's go bowling. Let's go out of town. Let's go to the mall, whatever. And what? You spend intimate time together. Everybody has close friends. Now, there's different levels of friendship. There's casual friendships. That's people you meet at Starbucks. That's called casual friends. People you meet at Walmart. People you meet, you know, wherever you shop. You know them. Maybe you don't even know them by name, but you recognize them. They recognize you. You go, hi. Okay? And then there's, you go to kind of a next level, whatever you want to call it, but like at church. You're not close friends with everybody at church, let's be honest. You may know them a little better by name. You worship with them, but you don't do anything with them. What the Bible's talking about here is those people you do a lot with. He says, listen, if you got a believer that is going to live in open sin, you know what the Bible says? Stay away from them. Whoa, what do you mean? Don't talk to them? That's not what it said. Don't be kind to them? That's not what it says. It says you can't be close to somebody who is openly living in sin, rebelling against God. Why? It will affect you. Did you hear that? Now, folks, this is Bible. I'm amazed in our homes. We'll be raising our families, going to church, doing everything we can to do it right. And as parents, we'll let our kids be close friends. I'm not talking about going to a birthday party. I'm not talking about things like that. I'm talking about spend every day, every week with kids who are lost, families who don't go to church or care anything about God. And then we're shocked when our kids start developing attitudes. We're shocked when our kids start developing habits that we don't agree with. And we're like, I don't get it. We taught them better. Can I help you? Your influences matter. The Bible says in Galatians 5:7, ye did run well. Who did hinder you? Who did hinder you? I know my own life. My friends have a big influence on my life. And so do yours. Folks, when the Bible's talking about separation, you know what it's talking about? Close? Let me put it in vernacular that you all would understand. BFFs. Look, some of you got it. Okay, that's best friends forever. I've learned texting jargon. I've moved up in the world. Yeah, they text us BFF. I'm like, what is BFF? It's like the first time I saw LOL. Yeah, laugh out loud. Yeah, I'm like, what is LOL? I LOL you. I LOL you too. What is that? And now they got the BFF, best friends forever. And but the reality is this. Your closest friends, can I help you? They ought to be like you. You see what I mean? They ought to have the same purpose in life. Go in the same direction in life. Believe in the same God you do. Folks, I got friends with people in all different sectors. But my closest friends are friends who believe the same way I believe. Now, I'm kind to everybody. I'm loving everybody. But can I help you? You need to make sure for the purpose of separation, if you want your family to grow up to accept God and live for God, you better develop some standards in your home. One of the standards you ought to develop is a thing called separation. Now, let me give you some real quick, some purposes of separation. First of all, number one, purpose of separation is to keep ourselves from the unclean thing. Would you look down in our passage of 2 Corinthians chapter 6? Look what he says here. In verse 17, wherefore come out from among them. He tells them why. And be separate, saith the Lord. And then he tells them why here. And touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. One of the biggest reasons you separate and you don't have close unions with individuals who are living a lifestyle outside of the Word of God is because you don't want to be corrupted with the same things. I'm telling you, it wears you down. If you're around someone that just casually drinks and they're a nice guy and they're a friendly guy and they're a wonderful guy and you don't agree with drinking, but man, you see them and man, they go to church and they love God and it seems to be great and things are going really good and they just seem to be a great family. But every time we go to the house, they have, you know, a glass of wine or a Bud Light or something, you know, just one, nothing big. And you're like, well, it's no big deal. I don't agree with that, but it's okay because you know what? They're really good people. And you begin to look at them and see how wonderful of an individual they are. And then all of a sudden your mind starts saying, well, they're a real nice person and they pray to God and they go to church. And you know what? I guess it must be okay. And then all of a sudden, you're doing what they're doing. Oh, a year ago, you said you'd never do that. But a year later, something changed. Your best friend's an adulterer. There's a problem there. There's a problem there. You say, why? But it doesn't work out real well. You say, why? You start picking up their philosophies. You say, no, that'll never affect me. Really? How come then so much of my counseling, it began that way, and a year or two later, that same person said, I'll never do that, is going down the same path the buddy went down that they go out and party with all the time. You see what happens? Influences matter. You know why God wants you to be separate? He loves you. He doesn't want you to be affected by sin. And he says, set some standards in your home to stay away from sin. In that, it also keeps us close to God. Now, I want to give you some applications and bring some things to light here. The whole purpose of separation is to keep from the unclean thing and keep us close to God. I want to give you some thoughts real quick before we go too far. Under application, number one, I want to remind you, we're to be in the world, but not like the world. The Bible is very clear, folks. I am not saying move to the mountains. I'm not saying isolate yourself. What I'm saying is it is possible to live in this world and not be affected by it. Now listen, we are inundated all the time with so many images, so much information. And yet it's still possible to live the way we need to live and live like Christians ought to live. If what? If we have some standards of separation. Secondly, we are to always be friendly with the world without being intimate with the world. Folks, honestly, I am not saying, and I want to clarify this, separation never gives a Christian a right to be rude, to be unloving, unkind. You will never see your pastor. Let me put it this way. The Bible says Jesus hung around publicans and sinners. He hung around prostitutes. Now, he wasn't best friends with them. But you know what? Went out, he ate, preached to them, walked around. He communicated with them. Remember the Samaritan woman he saw at the well? All the Jews were shunning her. Matter of fact, it's interesting how God orchestrated that. He made sure the disciples were gone because he knew they wouldn't even talk to her. He goes right up to her and begins talking to her, conversing with her. She was shocked. She's going, you're a Jew. I'm a Samaritan. We can't communicate. And he just went right on. That didn't bother him a bit. And he gave her living water, told her about Jesus Christ. Hey, can I tell you? If you live a uppity life that you think you're better than everybody else and don't talk to anybody, guess what? You'll never reach them for Jesus Christ. When I'm talking about separation, when I'm talking about standards, I'm not talking about being unlovely, unkind to your family, rude, thinking you're better. No. All I'm saying is set some standards so that you're not influenced to go away from God. That's all we're saying. In that, we should develop standards that keep us separated. Now, let me give you some illustrations that I think may help. First of all, I want you to understand it's not a sin for a minister to meet with a woman one-on-one. It's not. What are you saying, preacher? Okay, well, let me explain. We have a standard at Central Baptist Church. When I'm counseling, I never counsel a woman one-on-one. There's always somebody in the next office, somebody there. You say, why? Well, preacher, if we ever saw you just talking to a woman one-on-one, are you in sin?
No.
So please, if you ever see me standing somewhere talking to a woman, it's okay. Don't freak out on me, okay? Well, then why do you have the standard that you don't talk one-on-one or you don't go into a home? You tell the ministers, I can't go into a home one-on-one. Where in the Bible does it say that you can't talk to a woman one-on-one? Nowhere. Well, then why do you have a standard that you don't? To be wise. To be wise. Oh, we'll take it farther. It's not a sin for two people dating to be in a room by themselves. I'm pretty sure this group will use this against their parents. You say, what did he just, wait. Say that again, preacher. It is not a sin for a young man to be in a room with a young woman by themselves. You won't find that in the Bible. But it is stupid. You see what I'm saying? In other words, there's a lot of things that we say, well, why would I set a standard? We're always looking for a specific verse, preacher. Tell me where the verse says, thou shalt not. It's not a sin for a young man. Oh, we're going to go really stretch out here. It's not a sin to hold hands, except at youth camp. Don't forget that. That's very important. Whoa, preacher, you're getting yourself in a dangerous area here. No, I'm not. Okay? It's not. You won't find anywhere in the Word of God, thou shalt not hold hands. So if you see two young people holding hands, don't go. Well, why do you encourage them not to hold hands? Because at some point, holding hands isn't enough. Don't look funny at me. You know what I'm talking about. You pious gas bags. I can feel you say, oh, I don't know what you're talking about, preacher. Yeah, you do. Yeah, you're teenagers. You're holding hands. You're like, you remember the first time? It's, now it's like, ah, you're sweaty. Stop it, man. How are you doing? Ah. Changes. You know, then you go to the old routine of you're sitting on the couch and holding hands. Yes, did you ever hold hands growing up? Yes, I did. And we were good at it. We did the Bible hold hands. What's that? You put the Bible between you and hold hands underneath in church. We were so sneaky. We thought, oh, we're just so much in love, you know. But then the problem with that is after a while, that's not exciting anymore. And then you got to do the old. You say, what are you saying? Well, it just leads to other things. So when as parents, we set rules for our boys. And no, you couldn't find them in the Bible. Why'd you set standards for your boys about girls? Well, number one, girls are evil. That's a whole other message. But I said, why? Well, we want some standards because we're not saying this is sin. But wait a minute. Standards, separation, help us not to get into sin. And each family has to decide what that is. That's why as a youth department, we set some strict standards. Why? We're not saying that if you don't do our standards, you're in sin. Well, if you don't do our standards, your sin would be rebellion. It's not the action. It's the heart attitude. But we set some standards because we don't want them to develop into something more. And I'm blown at families that are like, oh, no, we're a free family and we don't have any standards or boundaries. Then guess what? Get ready for the fall because it's coming hard. You better have some things. You better send. Some families go, I don't want my kids to have cell phones till they're 14. Well, guess what? You won't find that in the Bible. Parent does not have a right to deny their kids a cell phone. Let me reverse that. Who says you have a right to have one? I know it's 2011. Some of you can't handle that right now. But really, where in the Bible does it say when you turn a certain age, thou shalt give them cell phones? No. Now, you can if you want. But some families say, no, I don't want to do that. Guess what? You have the right to say that. Why? Well, maybe you know your child pretty good. And maybe you know it's going to affect their grades. It's going to affect different things. So what do? You purpose. You purpose in your heart to set some standards. To separate from some things. Folks, I can go on and on. The fact of the matter is, you need to set some boundaries in your home, in your lives, to keep you from the unclean thing. As fundamental Baptists, we believe in separation. We believe in standards. Matter of fact, if you want to know what separates us from a lot of other religions, that is one of the major points. You will never hear from this pulpit, be like the world. Yet most churches you go into, they will tell you the way to reach the world is to be like them. In the training institution I came from, they're now teaching that to the youth directors. I'll never forget running into one. I would have no idea he was a youth director. Seriously, I looked at him. He was at youth camp. And I thought, man, maybe he's there for youth camp. Amen. And found out later he was the teen youth director. I went, wow. He dressed like them. He looked like them. He was talking like them, all hip and cool. And I'm thinking, you got issues. I pulled him aside. I was talking to one of his young men. And one of his young men, I was a camp speaker, came up, was asking me some questions. And I began trying to instruct the young man just in kindness and love. He'd asked a question, so I was giving him some guidance. Here comes his youth director. Man, I welcomed him. He's his spiritual leader. I'm like, it's great. But as we began talking, the youth director began taking the side of the teen. And the side was, hey, I'm going to get in this punk rock band because I believe that I can reach these punk rock kids for Jesus Christ. And I'm thinking, whoa, back the truck up. I said, actually, the Bible tells us to be separate from the world. No. I believe the only way that I can really reach them is to get in there and be just like them. And I stopped and said, you need to read your Bible. Romans 12:2, be not conformed to this world. Come out from among them and be separate. Folks, there's a philosophy out there that says, blend in with the world and we'll reach them. No. You know how you reach them? Distinct, separate, different. You know how you stay that way? You personally, in your family, in your life, better set some standards that keep you away from sin. You know why we believe in separation of standards? Because if we want to be close to God, we don't want sin to rule our lives. Now, I understand in some churches it goes to an extreme. Trust me, I understand that. One of the negatives of fundamentalism is, and rightly so, is us telling you what you should do. You say, what's that? There are churches of our faith that detail out what your standards ought to be. And if you don't follow those, you're wicked. Okay? That's an extreme. I'm going to be honest with you. That's an extreme. But you know what the other extreme is? Doing nothing. And can I tell you, both are damaging. Both are damaging. Folks, if you're going to set some standards in your home, make sure they're based on biblical principles and tell your kids why. Every time we had a standard in the home, I'd sit our kids down and go, okay, now listen, this is why we're doing what we're doing, okay? This is what we're doing, and I tell them why. Because I don't want you to end up over here. I don't want you to get involved in this sin here. So we're backing it up to here. We're not saying this is sin, but we're going to set a guideline here so we don't. You ever heard this term, I fell into sin? Yeah. Can I tell you how you fall into sin? You don't have any standards of separation. I love Job 1:1. The Bible says Job eschewed evil. In other words, when he saw it, he went the other way. Can I tell you what the problems are in our Christian homes and why I'm bringing this message? Why we have so many Christian homes that are falling apart? Seriously. They go to church Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday. They hear the word of God. But their kids aren't making it. They're not making it. I see a predominant philosophy in those homes. And this is what it is. If this is the sin right here, we go, well, the Bible doesn't say anything about what I'm doing. And as long as I'm not in sin, I'm okay. And so I'm just going to live right here. I'm not in sin, preacher. I'm just going to live right here. And then one day they kind of go, oops, oops. And they start shaking their head going, I don't get what happened. Well, I can tell what happened. You, out of a wicked heart, who really kind of wanted to dazzle in sin, knows it's wrong, but kind of looks enticing, got as close as you could, and then the world just took over. You know how we ought to be living? Oh, that's sin? Okay, yes, that's good. Yeah, that's good. Okay, yeah. Yes. I wasn't sure if you'd come after me, so I'm coming back. Pretty sure you would have left. What are you saying, preacher? Why don't we run from it? Every time a preacher preaches on separation, oh, here's that separation, preacher. Can I tell you why we're doing it? The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 6:14, what? Verse 18, and I will be a father unto you. Hey, get away from sin so you can be close to me. Hey, I'm a holy God and I want to be close to you and have a relationship. But you can't have both. You can't be close to God and have a great relationship and into sin. And so just get as far away as you can. And that way you won't fall into it. And as you're getting closer, you can remind yourself, say, no, this is bad. Let me back up a little bit. Back up, why? Because I want a relationship with God. And I want my kids to have a relationship with God. I want my church to have a relationship with God. So why? Set some godly standards. And here's the danger. Here's the danger. If we don't, if we fail to set some standards, and we don't set any, I'm telling you, we will become like the world. There is no debate to me. We will become like the world. And there is church of church, churches across this land and families, I'm telling you right now, that love God. Oh, they love God, but their influence is waning. And their power in this world is waning. Why? Because you can't tell any difference between those churches and the world. There's some things we don't allow in Central Baptist Church, okay? There's some styles of music that we avoid at Central Baptist Church. You know what, why? It looks too much like the world. And I'm not going to argue and debate with you. Well, it's just this preacher, it's this instrument, and God, stop the argument right now. I'm not even going to tell you that specifically some of that music is sin or wrong. I'm not even going to tell you that, okay? I'm not even going to get in that argument with you. But at Central Baptist Church, we're so concerned that you come in and have a worshipful atmosphere that we're going to avoid anything that even looks like the world. That's what we're going to do. Why? It's not because we hate you. Well, why are you doing it, preacher? It's because we love you. We want you to be able to come in this house and be able to relax and be able to worship God. And so, yeah, we set strict standards. We do things. Why? To keep separate unto God. And I'm telling you, listen, if you don't start setting some standards and separation in your home, and you just connect with whoever you want to connect, let your kids marry whoever they want to marry, be friends with whoever you want, hang on. Hang on. Because there's story after story in the Word of God where that happened. And every time, people started serving idols and quit serving God. Every single time. So I'm just warning you as your pastor, it is important who you hang around. It is important who you connect with. Now, on the flip side of that, let me tell you the danger of separation the wrong way. You'll become an isolationist or judgmental. And let me tell you, both are wrong. And I got to close with this, but I got to help give you this disclaimer. As you're separating individually your family to stay out of the world, do not become judgmental of other families. May I remind you of Matthew 7:1, judge not lest you be judged. I'm a fundamentalist. I can tell you the negative of fundamentalists too. If you ain't exactly like me, you're wrong. Can I help you with that? That's wrong. Every family's growing at different stages. Well, what do I do with families that don't have the standards that I have? You love them. You don't have to be like them, but you love them. You don't even have to be really close to them. You don't have to be intimate friends, but you love them. Why? Because if you become judgmental, you're in sin. Now, that is a sin. The Bible's very clear. See, if you don't have any standards and separate, you're going to fall and become like the world. But if you get too separated, you become an isolationist and you become judgmental. And guess what? Both extremes are outside of the boundaries of God. Why is it we always take things farther than they need to go either way? We either go to the grace side of, I can do whatever I want, no one can tell me what to do, and our families fall apart. Or we go the other route, so strict, our kids aren't allowed to do anything, and we don't tell them why. When they turn 18, they rebel and become just like the world, and we never see them again. And we scratch our head and go, what's happening? I'm going to tell you what's happening. It's not because of the Bible. It's because man became extremist. And here's the problem. We see the liberals, and we say, you're wrong. So we run this way. Oh, then the liberals see these extremists, and we go, they're wrong. They're pharisaical. You're right. So we run the other way. Hey, why don't we just run to the Bible? Why don't we just pick up the Bible and say, hey, come out from among them and be a separate. I'm to be in the world, to love the world, do everything I can to reach the world, just like Jesus Christ. But I better have some standards so the world doesn't reach me. Because if not, all my good motives will fall apart. Folks, your family's important. But I got to tell you, if we don't watch our unions, our close fellowships, all the work is in vain. Let's stand. Lord, we come to you now. Lord, we thank you and praise you for your word. I know, Lord, more of a teaching message this morning. And Lord, you know my heart for the families here at Central Baptist Church. Lord, this topic of separation is something very, very important. I know in one message it's hard to cover everything. And I know we did not exhaust it by any means. But Lord, as we look at 2 Corinthians 6 and Paul quoting from the Old Testament about coming out from among them and be a separate, all the illustrations we see in the Bible about separation, it is biblical. It is something that you've commanded in the life of a Christian. Lord, I'm afraid that the closer we get to the rapture, the tribulation, we're seeing less and less separation. We're seeing more churches and more Christians becoming more like the world than they are distinct and separate. Lord, that's not our desire. It's not our desire, Lord, because we don't want to get involved in sin and we want to stay close to you. And thirdly, Lord, we want to have an impact in reaching the world. The world needs to see us as different, something that they want, something that they need. Lord, we've talked about a lot of things and come from different angles. But our heart's desire is this. May each family, may each individual search their own heart and decide, Lord, what they need to change in order to keep themselves from sin and to you. We thank you and praise you now for your love. We thank you for the families you've given us, Lord. And I pray we go forth strong for you. And we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord's talked to you just a little bit. And maybe some families need to come and say, Lord, help us set some stronger standards. Maybe there's some people or some things you need to separate from. Whatever it might be, I pray that you would allow the Lord to talk to your heart. But understand this. Whatever he's saying, understand this. Separation is important. It's not something that can be ignored. It is important in everyone's life, everybody's family. So I hope you'll find a balance. And as we sing, we're going to sing page 153, I Surrender All. If you need some time with the Lord, you come. If not, sing page 153.
You have been listening to the broadcast of the Central Baptist Church in Ponca City, Oklahoma. If you have opportunity to visit Ponca City, we invite you to be present in our worship services. We're located just 1 mile north of the city, at the intersection of Highway 77 and Coleman Road. We'd like a chance to say welcome in person. But until that time, God bless you, have a great week, and thanks again for listening.